who was, excuse us, folks, we're just having a little bit of a situation here.
You're on the web.
All right, great. Thank you very much. Always look to the news media to find out where you are and what you're doing.
You're in a world of trouble if you do that.
Well, we are here for you to have your way with us. How's that? And this is an extremely important docket to us and certainly to the rest of the citizens of South Dakota. And we thought it would facilitate matters if instead of you folks having to try and track us down, if we just made ourselves available. So that's what we're doing here. And you have the three commissioners at your whim, so fire at us.
That was a key concern as you went through this. I know, Steve, you talked a lot about the concerns about protection of landowners and concern about some tactics, and Dusty and Gary both made some comments about that. But the overarching concern through this whole process, what was going on the top of your mind?
Well, on the as we went through the process, we were obviously contained. You wouldn't ask a Supreme Court judge if he thought someone was guilty. That was actually at the top of my mind, was trying to keep the ex parte rules and everything together during this docket. It was very frustrating not to be able to set the record straight or to respond to letters to the editor or other things like that. But there is a lot of facts out there. There are considerable amount of facts on our website, and I encourage anybody to go and look at those if they have any questions.
I think, Jerry, this is Dusty. You know, my biggest concern was just making sure we found out what the truth really was. You know, I think all three of us were focused on, you know, how likely is a spill and how big would a spill be and how quickly can you respond and how completely can you remediate it. And we were really searching that truth for ourselves so that we could make a good decision. But it also helps if the public knows what the reality is, because obviously we want the public to have confidence in their Public Utilities Commission, confidence that we're working for them, that we're working in the public interest. And, you know, hopefully this decision can also help to educate some people on what the real truth of all those issues I brought up, what the truth is.
And I'm sorry, Jerry, this is Steve again. Just one of the things that was maybe brought up, and there were numerous things, but that the pipe, that the oil is actually heated. It's not. Friction of the oil creates heat. That was one misrepresentation. But if I was to come out and try to correct that fact, would that be interpreted as I was for or against the pipeline? That was the trouble. That's what was troubling in my mind.
Jerry, this is Gary Hansen. my... It's hard to say what a major concern was, because there were so many. The major concern, I guess, that I was most prevalent in my mind was to get it right, simply because I felt this was setting a precedent. We're, none of us here are unfamiliar with politics. It's most frustrating not to be able to deal with misinformation, and I think that's one of the challenges when you're in somewhat of a quasi-judicial situation like we are, where we can't respond to it, we can't set the record straight as we're going through the process. We wanted to make certain that we followed the law. We wanted to make certain that we, especially that we protect the natural resources and that we protect the interests of the citizens. And I'm, frankly, I'm very pleased with the results of the process and the work product that the commission was, and I'll say the commission, meaning all, not just the commissioners, but all of the folks and staff people at the commission who put this product together. Other questions? You guys aren't going to make it that easy on us, are you?
Well, let me ask you one again from a parochial point of view, since Yankton is going to see the pipeline come through the city limits here in terms of the conditions and also the river crossing here. You know, how much of a special case is that going to be?
We will be – a note was just handed to me. Excuse me, Jerry. Would you please identify yourselves when you ask a question, because we are archiving this as part of the docket process and what we're doing as commission. So if that was Jerry Oster, if you would please.
It was indeed.
If you would identify yourselves when you ask us a question. And I suppose we should identify ourselves when we answer the question.
I'm willing to jump, put a toe in the water at least.
Please do. I was reading the notice as he was asking, so I'll pick up after.
You know, Jerry, this is Dusty Johnson. You asked specifically about Yankton, and just off the top of my head, I can think of three things where Yankton, that river crossing, was treated specially by either the federal government or this commission. You know, first off, one of the 57 conditions that the commission put in place dealt with how to deal with residences and residential areas. And to be real honest, we don't have a lot of those throughout the, you know, 220-mile route in South Dakota other than near Yankton. And so I do think Yankton's going to be given some special treatment there. Secondly, the PHMSA permit, the permit from the federal government, didn't apply to river crossings for navigable rivers that have year-round flow like the Missouri River. And so you're going to see a different thickness of the pipe underneath the Missouri River. You're going to see you're going to have check valves at both sides of the Missouri River. You're going to have a number of precautions that the federal government required or that TransCanada put into place voluntarily. And then, you know, finally, the last of the big three that comes to mind is just going to be response time. You know, TransCanada has not promised that they'll have response teams in any particular geographic location, to my knowledge, in any place except Yankton, where they have said, yes, we will have a team in Yankton because we want to have, you know, the fastest response time possible with regard to that river crossing. And so I think Yankton has been, that river crossing and that community has been very much in consideration at all of the different agencies that have reviewed this project.
Another thing specific to Yankton is if there was a water release in the Missouri River, that actually is not the state DNR. That's actually controlled by the federal government. And that fund, that actually goes to a different fund. That is not dipping out of South Dakota's fund for hydrocarbon release. That's actually on the federal side. So that's another thing that's different about Yankton.
This is Gary Hansen, Jerry. One of the things that most concerned me about Yankton was my experience as a utilities commissioner and as mayor of Sioux Falls with actual leaks and the challenges that result from those leaks. And so I certainly wanted to be certain that we went through a process that would assure us that that it would be as least likely as possible for a leak to take place. The proximity to occupied property and businesses was of quite a big concern. But I am also familiar with the city of Sioux Falls, where there are pipelines running right through the city. And certainly those, it's a different type of product that's going through some of those pipelines. But at the same time, those pipelines are carrying products that are far more likely to create significant challenges than a crude oil pipeline are. So that's something that I guess any time I see pipelines around occupied buildings, whether they're residences or businesses, that gives me that just creates that concern as a result of the experiences that I've had in having to clean those up as a local government official. Further questions?
This is Scott Waltman up at the American News in Aberdeen. I guess I'm curious if there was a agency or perhaps water group or something like that that didn't approve the decision. Is there an appeal process for them? I am not aware of that, and maybe you guys would be.
I'm going to look to our counsel, since that's a legal question, make sure we get it right.
Thank you, Commissioner Hansen. And may I clarify, was the question again whether there's an appeal process from the decision that the commission made today?
Yes.
Yes, there is. Under the South Dakota Administrative Procedures Act, any person who was a party to the case, any of the interveners, or in fact the TransCanada Keystone has the right to appeal by filing a notice of appeal to the appropriate circuit court, and there's a couple of options they would have, several options depending on where they live. Within 30 days after we issue the final decision, which didn't happen today. That will happen when we issue the formal written decision and serve it. Does that answer the question?
Yes.
And from there, then a person would also have the right to appeal to the South Dakota Supreme Court.
And Scott, this is Dusty. I would just note that, you know, we have experience with that. We did have our decision on Big Stone 2 that we rendered in the summer of 2006 was appealed. We won at circuit court and we won at the Supreme Court. And in fact, that decision had some wording that I think, makes it pretty clear what the commission should be looking at with regard to that citing statute. So we have won appeals at the Supreme Court before.
Other questions?
This is Scott Walton again. I'll go once more if nobody else does. I mean, it's clear you kind of had a nod to some of the, and I'm kind of probably thinking about the Marshall County area more than anything else, but some of the aquifers and water, water sources up there. Could you just talk about kind of your thoughts as you kind of crafted, I know there were 57, you know, points that were talked about this morning, but just kind of as they relate to water sources, sometimes the list got going pretty fast this morning, I guess.
Scott, this is Gary Hansen. We were, all three of us were especially concerned with that and found out subsequent to our work on this that we all had expressed interest in protecting that sands area up in the up and around the area that you're referring to. We took a number of steps, and you're right, as we went through the process, it was rather interesting for us as we went through the process because some of the paragraphs, the conditions as we were working with them ended up being rewritten and ending up in different pages of the draft than what we had looked at previously. So in many respects, it was as if we were looking at a new draft each time. But we did consider that of paramount importance, and I'm not sure whether or not this draft and how soon we are going to be able to have this on the web. Can anyone tell me? Anyone know how?
Of the conditions,
yes.
You mean? It'll probably be up to me, of course, to finish the edits that the commission voted on today, and I would assume I could have that done here within an hour or so, an hour or two.
Great.
And I would assume we post it immediately as soon as that's done.
Okay, good. And then you'll be able to refer to those areas. One of the areas that you want to refer to is towards the end. It's the environmental conditions and discusses the, it's begins with condition 48. Some of the conditions not only protect are directly for the purpose of protecting the aquifer, they're also for the purpose of protecting wells and protecting the supply lines, for instance, the polyethylene pipelines, to assure that there's no degradation in those areas.
This is Dusty Johnson, and Gary just talking just kind of reminded me of something. I mean, I think, Scott, there are probably people out there that will view this decision as a victory for TransCanada, and I would suspect that the applicant is going to be pretty happy with the announcements, but I think it's also a victory for a lot of the people who intervened, because you look at, of course, there were 57 conditions, but I have just jotted down while we're talking six of them that I think are maybe the most important or interesting, and a lot of them deal directly with issues that were raised by interveners. things like, you know, the polyethylene pipes, things like public liaison officers so they can make sure they're being communicated with properly, the Middle James Aquifer, making sure that we do what we can to protect that and plan for taking care of that. I think every one of the six most important conditions were raised by interveners. And, you know, if you look at the law, we have three options before us. We can approve, we can deny, or we can approve with conditions. And the Public Utilities Commission did not approve the permit. We approved with conditions. And a lot of those conditions, you know, we can thank the interveners for raising the issues.
Just kind of on a different note about Marshall County, I know there was a lot of concern about the route up there and how it took. And I think one thing that was kind of miscommunicated and actually confused me a little bit is the alternate route that was proposed actually moved it closer to the BDM well, which I didn't understand at all. But I think the route that was chosen, we couldn't adjust or modify anyway, but I think that the route did take into effect hydrological studies, population studies, geographical studies. All of that was done as part of the permit. I know the alternate route that they had proposed had none of those things done to it, but maybe that might address some of your concerns up there around Marshall County, too.
Scott Waltman again. I guess what Dusty just said sparked a question. Approved with conditions, which means they can move forward, but in the future have to show evidence that they're complying with the 57 conditions. Is that fair to say, or am I getting ahead of the game?
No, that's certainly fair to say.
Okay.
And Scott, this is Steve Colbeck again. With the permit from the federal government, they had 81 conditions, plus the 57 conditions that we put on there. I think that brings the total up to around 140 conditions. Extra conditions to be able to even start construction.
Well, and this is Dusty Johnson. When you look at the three options, you know, approve, deny, or approve upon certain terms and conditions. I mean, I think our approval today is that TransCanada didn't get what it wanted. TransCanada got what we wanted. We took their application, which I think was a good application, but we put some things in that, frankly, they didn't ask for. They probably didn't want, but interveners wanted. You know, TransCanada didn't call for them to have a public liaison officer, you know, accountable to us 24 hours a day. They didn't ask to out of their own pocket replace polyethylene pipes or to, you know, treat the Middle James Aquifer, you know, differently. And there are others. I mean, this really is a pipeline with protections in place that the commission felt were necessary.
This is Gary Hansen again. In going through this process, we wanted sincerely to protect the citizens, and that should be a given. But at the same time, we needed to be careful that in those areas where we were perhaps stretching the envelope of our authority, that we didn't wish to stretch it too much because, number one, we didn't want it to be overturned, and we didn't want to create the desire for Keystone to pursue that either. So we wanted to make certain that we had sufficient restrictions, sufficient safeguards, and you probably heard during the discussion that some of us were, in fact, a little uncomfortable as we went into some of those territories. But at the same end, certainly Keystone has a right to be concerned about that if we trespass into areas where our authority does not exist. At the same time, it's not in their interest to pursue a court case on this, provided that we don't go too far. So it was one of those situations where we wanted to remain within our authority, but at the same time, we, granted, may have stretched it just a smidgen, and enough so that we wouldn't be overturned.
Well, and I think one thing that impressed, this is Dusty, and one thing that impressed me about this process, and frankly impressed me about my colleagues, is there is a tremendous desire when you're an elected official to want to please people. And I think the decision today, I think, shows that the commissioners were not interested in merely political pandering, but they were interested, as Commissioner Hansen has put it, in getting it right, in following the law, not putting a bunch of conditions into place that are not defensible. You know, this is a commission, you know, this decision today, I think, is a good thing because it shows that this commission can work through what the right decision is and not just what the popular decision for any given person or any given county might be.
Further questions? This is Gary. I've served on a lot of different bodies of commissions and legislature and things of that nature, and this is a real unique one from a standpoint of, I guess I would call it the finality of the decisions that we make here, even though that they can be appealed. It's, and perhaps Commissioner Colbeck, who served on a local commission council as well, recognizes that people have the ability when you make a decision on a legislative level, they can always come back with different legislation next year. When you're in a city council position, they can come back in 6 months, or they can work other ways in which to change things. And in this process, it's extremely important for us to get it right, especially issues of this nature that affect so many people and have the potential to affect our environment for, well, forever. And so I think that's one of the things that strikes me the most about working on the commission level. Other questions?
I'd just like to make one comment that I know some people, whether there's a winning side or a losing side, some people feel that they were mistreated, and I just want to make it known that I feel that this process was very open. We're on the Internet, every meeting, all of our stuff is on the Internet, all of our dockets, all of the transcripts, everything we said. It's been an 11-month process to do that. As I said before, the state has been working on this for three years, a little over 3 years. And I think that some of the things that came out, like a thinner pipe, maybe may have overclouded some people's thoughts. And when you really get down to brass tacks, it's actually 43 thousandths of an inch difference in the thickness of the wall of a pipe. That, I think, maybe overshadowed some of the law and some of the openness that was out there. I hope no one feels slighted by that, but I feel that we've done a very good job of getting anyone and everyone involved and giving them proper time to comment.
This is Dusty, and Steve, that's a, you know, great point. In fact, for that instance, you know, we had some people who were saying that the pipeline operating under that federal permit with, you know, quote, the thinner pipe would be more dangerous, when in fact the federal regulators have made it very clear that it's going to be as safe or safer than if they wouldn't have had that special permit. And, you know, again, part of this is an education process, and I don't expect that every intervener would have read all 20,000 pages, you know, sometimes the misinformation was a little disheartening.
Further questions? Any comments by the commissioners at this juncture? I won't ask any of our staff people for their comment. They might have something really challenging for us. Scott, Gary, Dawn, Travis, and Jerry, any further?
Excuse me.
All right. Well, thank you folks very, very much for following this up. We appreciate the work that you do too. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We don't even take a motion for that, do we?
Motion to adjourn.
The meeting is adjourned.